And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Evangelia Papas got the Moderna shot. She no get the Pfizer. I no understand. I Pfizer made by Greek boy, made by a wonderful, brilliant Greek man. And she get the Moderna. I tell you what, when I go. I say, I want the Pfizer. If they try to give me the Moderna, I run away. I say, no! I want what the Greek man made. I want the Pfizer shot. Oh, yes! The Greek boy makes the Greek thing that go in my arm. The only thing go in my arm? Pfizer. The only thing that go out with my arm is Hilopitis and baklava to my grandchildren who are so beautiful and so smart. The smartest. I never met anyone smarter than my grandchild.
Good morning, Swim World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, March 22nd. Hashtag full squad back in the mix. I'm J.E. Skeets along with me, Mr. What You Need to Know himself, Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tassie. Back from vacation, it's my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Ayo!
Hey!
Yo!
We've got the international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. TK, great to have you back. How is Florida?
Oh, tremendous. Splendid. Sunny. Windy. It was great, Skeetsy. Had a great time with the fam. A lot of time in the water. Sunburned my hands really, really bad.
Oh.
Felt like I was wearing wax gloves for an entire week. You know how I feel about lotion. Don't like lotion.
Right.
Gotta have sunscreen, though. I burn easily, as you would imagine. So I wear a rash guard. I'm an old man who wears a rash guard. Thought I was fine. But my hands were exposed. So, you know, you've heard of Method Man. You've heard of Red Man. I was red hands. It was like the backs of my hands were just scarlet. The Scarlet Witch out here. It was bad news bears, but a great time. And honestly, wow. Great time. A lot of people were saying, there's no way you were on vacation, man. You were playing in the NCAA tournament for Eastern Washington. Maybe I was.
Yeah, I guess you were like Cochran on Survivor there when you got that.
Oh, baby. Yeah, it was bad. I botched it, you know? You think you can just casually read Bill Walton's book about the Grateful Dead by the pool? You can't. More like the Grateful Red.
Good to know. Start wearing your gloves when you're by the pool,
yeah,
people.
Wear gloves at the pool. So dumb.
Well, it's great to have you back here. It's great to have the full squad, like I said. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now. You're really the sixth man of this all. Smash that like button, guys, okay? Drop your thoughts in the comments, and make sure you subscribe and share the show. Email us your questions and comments for this week's Beach Steppin' Podcast. We will be wearing gloves on the beach when we read these emails. But get them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. We're likely going to be stepping on the beach a day earlier than normal, probably on Tuesday, so tomorrow in the afternoon. So get your questions in right now. Go grab your merch at nodunks.com. Hoodies, crewnecks, t-shirts, shorts, mugs, everything available. And finally, last night there, I decided to hit the No Dunks fam with a little 2021 NBA Trade Deadline Primer podcast. Tackled some key questions, hypothetical trades, predictions at the end, as we close in on this Thursday's trade deadline. So go check that out if you haven't already. I posted it late last night. It's on our YouTube page, and it's obviously a podcast as well. Thanks to everybody that joined me live on YouTube. And on Thursday, I'll just say this now. I said it on that show, but we won't have the No Dunks Daily Show here live at 10. Tass has got What You Need to Know Monday through Friday, super early, 7 o'clock live on YouTube. But that Thursday show, with the deadline being that day, we're going to push that show back a little bit. Probably just wait until the deadline, right? Is it 3 p.m. Eastern? I keep saying it is, but I'm not 100% sure.
I think so. I think you're right. Yeah. It usually is.
It usually is. I didn't check to see if it still is, but we'll do a show a little bit later in the day because maybe we'll have some like sort of last minute trades trickling in, and then we'll talk about them, of course, on that podcast. And if a big trade happens, I'm sure, you know, we'll have some sort of emergency podcast as well. So make sure you subscribe. Okay. It's Monday, though. Winners and losers of the weekend. Tass, we're going to switch it up. We usually start positive Pete's and we go with the winners, but I think we got to start with the losers of the weekend. And we'll get to winners. But, I mean, look, I'm setting you up here, but it's pretty obvious, I think, who sort of gets the loser of the weekend. It's all of us, right? NBA fans, I guess, losing some stars.
Sure. It's also the basketball gods for serving us a poo-poo platter of a couple big injuries. And it's sad, but there's some positive, I don't know, things to come out of it and some discussion to come out of it. First, LaMelo Ball broke his wrist and he's out for the remainder of the season. Now he's undergoing a second opinion early this week just to make sure, but it's likely that he's done his rookie campaign over, and we'll discuss if he's rookie of the year still, despite missing at least the last quarter of the season for him. And LeBron James out with a high ankle sprain because Solomon Hill rolled into his ankle and he went down. You never see the king go down, but this time he's out for an extended period. Now it's unclear because high ankle sprains, it's kind of ambiguous, as ambiguous as injuries get. It could be, you know, a week. It could be several weeks. And so LeBron deemed out for several weeks, especially with Anthony Davis not in the lineup for the Lakers. It's a bit of a worry time for LA because Western Conference is really tough. They're third in the West. Anthony Davis should be back in a couple weeks. But we'll start it with this question here. How far do you guys think the Lakers will fall in the standings? Trey, since you're back, we'll start with you. What do you think the Lakers are going to end up when LeBron comes back, considering that Anthony Davis should maybe be back in a couple weeks?
Yeah, that's the question. How soon does Anthony Davis get back to kind of steady the ship? That's a huge question. And then how long is LeBron going to actually be out? You mentioned, Tass, he doesn't go down very often. I feel like he does go down often. The thing is, he never stays down. And that was what the shocking thing to hear from a guy like Kyle Kuzma, who said, I've never heard LeBron screaming and squalling like that. Some outlets had it as squalling, some of it had it as squealing, some of it had scowling. I don't know which he was doing, but the man was yelling and screaming, so obviously he was in pain. It looked like a nasty injury, having a guy fall into your leg like that. No, thank you. But for me, I'm not really worried about the Lakers' seed. I think it's quite realistic they fall out of the top four and that they play every series on the road in this season, but they just won a championship playing in the bubble, so being the underdog going in, the technical underdog, I don't think is going to be a problem for the Lakers. But, you know, I had the Nuggets as my team, who's going to be great in the second half. I think it's possible that they jump into the top four, replace the Lakers there. The Clippers haven't been lighting things on fire. Obviously, the Jazz have hit a little bit of a lull here, but had a great start to the season. I think it's feasible that the Lakers finish in the top four. I don't think they will. But I also don't think the Lakers seed matters at all, as long as LeBron and AD are healthy once the playoffs actually start.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if they drop a spot or two or three. Not so much. And especially with their schedule, they have some gimmies the next week to 2 weeks. Then they have a long trip. So hopefully for them, Anthony Davis is back. But let's get to the play. Solomon Hill rolling into LeBron James's ankle. Lee, do you think it was a dirty play?
No, I don't. I don't think Solomon Hill had any intention to hurt LeBron in that play. The ball was loose. He went for it. He just happened to sort of go under LeBron's ankle. And I actually feel bad in a way for Solomon Hill because he's getting just tormented on Twitter. People are throwing him under the bus and blaming him for injuring him. That's just a basketball play that happens. It just so happened that it was against LeBron James. Guys go for the ball. There's no way this guy's like, here's my chance to take out LeBron James or anything like that. Nobody wants to be that guy. So I feel bad for him. I think he was just trying to make a play, but unfortunately that happened. Now, the weird thing about this play is as well, LeBron stayed on the court and hit a three-pointer, and then he left. You know, so
was he trying to extend his like 1,000 game plus streak of 10 points?
I think that's the only reason he stayed on the court, because he basically left once he registered the 10th point there. So, but no, I think Solomon Hill, I think it just happens, and we'll know soon, hopefully, how long LeBron will be out. In some ways, I think LeBron, you know, he probably will sit out a little bit longer right now to keep himself fresher for the playoffs. Now, you know, this is an injury that could keep him out for a month or so. Anyway, we just don't know, but. I think this is just one of those things that happens, and there's no need to point the finger at Solomon Hill for doing anything deliberate or nasty. Yeah. It just happened, and it's unfortunate that it did, but it did, and that's the way it goes in sport and in basketball.
I think it's like deceiving when we were just showing you the clips here on the stream team. When you see the slow-mo, if you just see that part of it, it like maybe looks dirty. It looks like, whoa, man, he's just rolling into him there. What's going on? But when you actually watch the clip in real time, Solomon Hill's almost to the ground sort of before LeBron is then going for the ball, where he's stepping and then, you know, accidentally Solomon is falling into him, and that's where that high ankle sprain happens. So, yeah, I'm with you, Lee. I do not think Solomon Hill was being malicious here and trying to hurt him. I did say, was it like, I think it was Schroeder after the game, had a weird comment about basically saying Solomon Hill is established in this league and like he's a vet and he doesn't need to be going for balls like that. But it would make more sense if a guy that's trying to get into the league or trying to stay in the league would have that hustle type play. I just thought that was a strange way to go about it.
Do you think he's wrong, though? Do you think this is...
I mean, I just don't...
I do think this is different than a Matthew Dellavedova in year one, year two, trying to establish himself in the league. Nothing good happens when you're on the ground by people's legs. You say it happens in every sport, Lee. Every other sport has fouls for this. You can't do it in the NFL, hit a guy under the knees. Can't do it in the NHL. Can't do it in soccer. But in basketball, because the ball rolls near the ground... You're going to be near some legs? I don't know. To me, it's a...
So what,
it's
you should never be allowed to dive for the ball at all? Is that what you'd want?
No, but nothing good happens. It's not a basketball play. What is the point of going to the ground there on the sideline?
Well,
but it's a bit of a loose ball. It's bobbling around.
Yeah, he's just trying to get the ball. He's always doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they didn't get the loose ball. He injured a guy. And then, to me, the dirtier play was when LeBron took the three from the corner. Solomon Hill slides under his right ankle.
Yeah,
you can see it. And LeBron lands on his left foot, so he doesn't land on Solomon Hill's slide under. I just hate it. I mean, it's just reckless, and that's what the players are calling it. They're saying it's not a basketball play because it's not. There's nothing to do there. That's basketball. You're just diving on the ground. You're gonna knock the ball out of bounds.
Well, it's so weird though. I mean, it's still basketball because he's trying to keep possession of the ball. I mean, he is trying to have the ball for his team. He's not dribbling or shooting or stuff like that. I get that. That's the not basketball part. But I just think he was there before LeBron even went for it. He's down.
So you're saying LeBron's the dirtier player.
Well, yeah, no,
LeBron
I'm not
is trying
that
to step
is my
on
point.
Solomon.
I'm saying it's super unfortunate. And it's amazing it doesn't happen more in this league. But I don't think it was dirty. There's no, I just don't. And I don't agree with Schroeder either. I think that's a silly way to look at it. Well, if the guy was in his second year, then fine. What?
I mean, stars don't Solomon, do this. Stars don't do this.
Stars
that's
don't
how you
need
can...
to do it. That's why we got these
exactly,
hustle guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Stars don't need to do it
well,
because
Solomon
they're
Hill's
playing basketball out
yeah,
there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it sucks. I'm not.
I just think in that split second, you know, you see the ball kind of loose for Solomon Hill. He tries to go for it, and he just, you know, LeBron's foot gets sort of lost underneath his body. I don't think there was anything there that Solomon Hill did that was, you know, malicious or dangerous or nasty. It's just like, you know, as a veteran, as a hustle guy, this is part of the reason why he's still in the league, is that he makes these sorts of attempts on the play, and you know, it's more just an unlucky coincidence that he hit LeBron in the spot that he hit him. I just don't think there's anything that he did wrong, Solomon Hill, and I just think it's an unlucky play. That's all it comes down to, because again, nobody wants to be the guy who injures the superstar. Nobody wants to have that reputation, and certainly not to do it in any sort of malicious or deliberate way. So it's just unfortunate. I mean, if that wasn't LeBron, let's say it's Marcus Morris, does anybody, you know, does it have that same sort of
we're
appeal?
Not leading the just, show with it, no.
No, exactly. So, you know, I just think it's unlucky. And Trey, you mentioned in other sports there are rules. That's true. But you still see it happen in soccer a lot, where guys take out guys and they hit them with the foot because, again, not through dangerously trying to do it, but mistiming things. And just, you know, sometimes that's what happens on the play, is like someone's foot slides in or they're just a second or two late on the play. Sometimes it's deliberate, but not always. It's just the way it goes when you're going for a play like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely amplified with the slow motion part of it, and the fact that it's LeBron, obviously. And To me, it doesn't resemble a Matthew Dellavedova play that we've seen over the years diving on the floor, because it is sort of him going to one knee and then LeBron kind of moves into him, and then we see the slow-mo and it looks bad, but it's not on the floor like Matthew Dellavedova, and we don't see it that often. And I don't think you put it in the same family as Matthew Dellavedova diving at Kyle Korver or whoever, but obviously it's terrible. And if there's anybody who's going to come back quick, it'll be LeBron James.
Yeah, he'll probably be back next game. This is LeBron James.
He will be back. It'll be, you know, however many weeks it is, but it could be, you know, from 1 to 5 to 6. So how do you think this impacts the MVP race, Skeets?
I mean, it has an effect on it, right? We were talking about Joel Embiid missing a couple weeks, and that was going to hurt his chances in a race that's been so tight that we've talked about all season long. Feels like there's anywhere at times been like 3 to 7 guys at that MVP table having the conversation. I think it hurts LeBron's chances. Yeah, I don't think it's good. I don't think he'll win it. If anyone's coming out, I hate to say happy about this because no one is, but Jokic to me is now like the clear, probably the front runner, but it's going to be, I'm watching the Nuggets Blazers, like who can catapult up there maybe in the standings in the Western Conference. And if it's the Nuggets, then Jokic has one hell of a case. And if it's the Blazers, Damian Lillard's going to have one hell of a case, because, you know, we can go over this again, but I don't think Giannis is going to win a third straight, no matter what the Bucks do from here on out. And they're rolling right now, and he's continuing to do it, put up the numbers he did. The Harden thing is fascinating. I don't think he's going to do it. Enough people will hold over his head how he left Houston. The poor Stephen Silas and the Rockets losing 20 straight and all that. He's been amazing, amazing, amazing. I just don't think he gets it from a narrative standpoint. So I think it's Jokic or Lillard's at this point with the injuries to Embiid and now LeBron. I don't know if I'm alone in that, Trey. Is Jokic your front runner? Is there somebody else? Or can LeBron still win it if he comes back in? You know, he misses, what, 5-6 games? I guess it's possible, right?
If the Lakers lose 10 straight, LeBron comes back and they win 10 straight, LeBron's going to be the favorite once again. Probably. Just like that. What a built-in narrative here. But yeah, for me right now, Jokic is the favorite. He's kind of been tiptoeing around being the favorite, mm-hmm. even without LeBron being injured. So if the Nuggets are able to put together a really strong second half of the season, I could see him certainly seizing the award. Giannis is making a run here. Lillard, like you're saying, Skeets, could do the same thing if the Blazers are able to get into the top two in the Western Conference. The field seems completely wide open right now because the Nuggets just haven't been good enough as a team right now for Jokic to really be the front runner, because his stats have him there as the front runner. It's just a matter of team success. If they're able to do that, he's going to really seize the reins here. But it's pretty crazy to think that in the space of one weekend, we went from having locked up the Rookie of the Year race and maybe having a chance at the MVP race. Obviously, I was reading the Athletics app on Friday. Jovan Buha was saying, this is how LeBron has already seized the MVP lead. Suddenly, he's out the very next day. So, yeah, award races wide open right now. Good stuff. Yeah. I like that about the NBA. Injuries, bad news bears, but at least we got some races to talk about.
Yeah, Tass, let's go to the Rookie of the Year. Do you think LaMelo Ball not playing for the rest of the season, if that's the case? Can he still win Rookie of the Year? Playing, what, 40, what do you get up to, 42 games, 41 games? Mm-hmm. Is that enough? Or can a guy like Anthony Edwards or somebody else steal it? Maybe a Wiseman. What do you think?
I still think this is LaMelo Ball's award, even if it's just 41 of 72 games. I think the games matter less this season because of everything going on in the league. Guys are missing games all over the place. Now, this is sort of a conventional injury, but playing over half the games is enough. Especially with the lead he has over the field. I think you still give it to him. I think he has impressed that much more than other guys. Anthony Edwards is going to be the second place guy. And if people don't want to give it to LaMelo Ball, I think Anthony Edwards will take the lead, depending what he does these last 30 games. But I think, you know, people have been moved by LaMelo Ball's play. I mean, that's just the way it is. He's just been so, so special. So I'm giving it to him if I'm an award winner. I don't think this is quite, you know, Joel Embiid missing half a season and he should be, you know, the leader as Rookie of the Year. I think this is his, man. This is his. He's just too good. He was too good this season.
Lee, you agree with that? I mean, can LaMelo still win Rookie of the Year? I know it depends a little bit on what Anthony Edwards does over the final 30 games. To me, it maybe just makes it a closer race. Because LaMelo was going to be, you know, running away with it. Like, he was going to probably get every single vote. Maybe he doesn't get that now, but what's your take?
Well, in seven games in March, Anthony Edwards is shooting, averaging 26 points per game. So if he can do that for the remainder of the season, I think he can steal it for sure. I think LaMelo is the favorite and should remain the favorite for now. But Anthony Edwards has played so impressively since, you know, sort of late February and now into March that there is an opening for him. But he has to do it for the remainder of the season. And if the Wolves could put together a few more wins as well, I think that will help his case. We know that the wins don't really matter in the overall sense, but considering where the Wolves are and how they've been the worst team pretty much this season, if they were to string together some wins and his game was really impacting that, then I think that could help him, especially because LaMelo is likely not going to be playing again for this season. So I still have LaMelo as the favorite, but Anthony Edwards has a chance down the stretch here for sure.
Yeah, Trey, what do you think as we wrap up the injury talk here before we move to some other losers of the weekend? Can LaMelo hold on to win Rookie of the Year? And just also the impact this has on the Hornets. I mean, this is pretty deflating. They were like, everyone's like, whatever, second favorite team, sometimes the favorite team to watch in the league, mainly because of LaMelo Ball and the way he plays. And now, you know, they'll be hanging on for a playoff chance. I guess if you're a Bulls fan, you're maybe happy. You know, you're battling them, but still sucks overall.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked to hear you guys picking your Cinderellas. Last weekend, I think you took the Raptors, the Hornets, and the Wizards, who are combined 1-4 against the Chicago Bulls. But that's all right. Still time to hop on the bandwagon, guys. The Bulls wagon. I'm sure you've heard they're back. Huge win last night. Nonetheless, this is LaMelo's award to lose to me still. And Tass, you mentioned Embiid and Malcolm Brogdon. I actually kind of think this is going to be a little bit more like last year's race. Zion and Ja Morant. Ja Morant obviously played a lot more games last season. Had a Rookie of the Year kind of season, like a really incredible rookie season. Zion was still the best rookie there was. He just didn't play quite as many games. And I think that that's going to be the case here with LaMelo and Anthony Edwards. LaMelo is going to finish the season playing, what, 41 games? Anthony Edwards has a chance here to make his case. He's been playing incredibly. He's going to get a ton of opportunity in the second half of the season as the Timberwolves commit to his development, shall we say. I still think LaMelo's going to win it because we saw the impact he has in those first 41 games, changing the team, making them a team that everybody wants to watch, because the on-court, off-court numbers are kind of weird. It's kind of weird that the Hornets are actually better when LaMelo is on the bench. Personally, I think that would change over the course of the second half of the season. They were a 500 team when he was a starter, 500 team when he was coming off the bench. So, yeah, I mean, I think the Hornets can survive. I think it can still make it into the playoffs. But I think Anthony Edwards could make a run at Rookie of the Year. I think he'll come up short, but I think it's going to be a closer race than we're expecting.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so let's move on from, again, disappointing news there with LeBron and LaMelo both being out for a significant time. Lee, let's go to you here. Who do you have for a loser of the weekend, moving away from the injuries?
You sure you want to come to me here?
Yeah, I want to rip the Band-Aid off. We'll go back to Trey because I saw your answer, so let's just get to it now.
A Raptors, man. Eight in a row they've lost. And, well, Friday night, well, what a tough one to the Jazz. That was one of those wins that could have gotten them back on track, but instead they lose it. Pascal misses again a chance to send the game to overtime. So close to going in. They lose that game. And then yesterday against the Cavs, that's the one that they needed to get back on track, and they couldn't even win that one. So I've gone from now looking at the Raptors as a team that I thought could be a bit of a dark horse and a team to watch out for in the second half of the season here, to now, they might not even make the playoffs right now. They are 3.5 games back of the Hornets and Knicks for that 7th and 8th spot. But the way Toronto's playing is, it's just demoralizing. Like, they just seem to have lost that spark that they had earlier in the season. And now, with Thursday's deadline coming up, this is the real question.
Yeah.
Does Masai Ujiri now decide, okay, this season is toast, let's see what we can get for Kyle Lowry and perhaps Norman Powell as well. I don't think anyone else significant will be moved. Obviously not Pascal, OG or Fred. So what do the Raptors do here? Do they decide it's time to cash their chips in on those guys or at least one of them? Or does Masai Ujiri sit stand pat at the deadline and keep pushing through? I don't know. I mean, it's weird to see the Raptors like just completely fall apart like this.
They got their ass handed to them on Sunday. They made the fake comeback. That's all it was. They got embarrassed by the Cavs.
Yeah.
And the defense is completely, you know, AWOL. And they had excuses when they were missing all their guys, but their guys are all back now. That's a brutal loss. Yeah, Tass, you were talking on What You Need to Know. You think it's time. that Lowry, at least, maybe Norm too, yeah, I guess he didn't really address that, but that maybe Lowry gets moved here. A lot of rumors over the last, 24 hours from Shams and KOC saying the Heat want Lowry, the Sixers want Lowry. You know, there's a demand for him. And will the Masai Ujiri and Bobby Webster ultimately decide to part ways with him? You think it could be happening here in the next couple of days?
I know it's crazy to think that the greatest Raptor of all time may be traded, but let's be positive here on Monday. Maybe this is a blessing in disguise that the Raptors have lost 8 straight. Maybe instead of them being a 6, 7, 8 seed going into the playoffs and not making it that far, this is a clear indicator that they just got to cash in on Kyle. K-I-O-K, do it now. Because it works both ways. Number one, they're friendly with Kyle. He said he's going to come back and he's going to retire as a Raptor. Mm-hmm. And also it works out for them. He's in the final year of a contract. Get something for him. You know, make their team better for the future because they're obviously not good enough. Even though they're only 5 games out of being in fourth with a home court advantage, that's not crazy, you know, to think that the Raptors could get there and that the Hawks are going to fall off here on this West Coast trip and the Raptors could jump up. I know they've lost 8 in a row, but still, in the Eastern Conference, they could look at it that way. But maybe this 8 games is just an indicator that, man, we're just not going to be great in the playoffs. They would still be good. I think, beside Norman Powell, I think Kyle's the focus here, and everybody wants Kyle. As Sean's saying, teams covet him. And so it's time. What are you going to wait for Kyle to be, you know, grandpa next year in 36 and 37? I think with him saying, I'd be comfortable leaving, only a couple of weeks ago, I think that's him telling the Raptors, I legit, don't necessarily have to be here the next couple months and then the next couple years, but I'll come back, hang my banner. That's cool. We'll be buddies later on. But right now, they're not winning a championship. And I think that he knows that, they're looking out there for him. Now, Masai Ujiri is not going to trade him for anything. But like you said, Philadelphia, Miami, who are really, really going for it as well. They have, a treasure trove of assets there. They've got lots of assets to trade to the Raptors. So I think that deal could make sense.
If you're the Raptors organization, Trey, and those two teams, Philly and Miami, are calling, which young player are you most intrigued by if you are Toronto and you are moving on from Lowry? Is it a Thibault? Is it a Hero? Duncan Robinson? Tyrese Maxey to go back to Philly? Like, is there one name of that bunch, or maybe even someone I'm missing that you're like, oh yeah, okay, we can make something happen here. We obviously got to get the contracts in there and make it all work, but that young prospect and then a pick, maybe we're talking here. Where would you lean if these are real trades?
Hero would be my number one target, no doubt about it. He struggled this season. He's not shooting very well from the field, not shooting well from three. He's been a bigger part of teams' scouting reports, obviously, after the way he was great in the bubble. I had him as my sixth man of the year. Has not panned out, but he's still the guy who's got the highest ceiling of all those players you mentioned between the Sixers and the Heat. I wouldn't be upset if I'm the Raptors getting a guy like Precious Achiuwa in a trade as well. A guy on his rookie contract. The Heat really like him. They think he's going to be their next Bam Adebayo. But you already got a Bam Adebayo who plays a whole bunch. The Raptors could use a big guy, especially a young big guy with those kind of athletic skills and the defensive skills. That's something that they've really been missing. But I agree. I think it's 100% time to move on from Kyle Lowry. Masai Ujiri would be doing a disservice to the Raptors if he let that expiring contract expire on the Raptors without bringing somebody back. Like Tass is saying, K-I-O-K, cash in on Kyle. The time is now because the Raptors basically have 5.5 good players. That's not enough to win even in the Eastern Conference. They got lucky against the Celtics last year to go to 7 games in the second round. Even Eric Kareen is saying on The Athletic that it's time to trade Kyle Lowry. Once he's ready to move on, it's time.
Yeah. Anything to add to the Raptors here, Lili, with them moving on from possibly Kyle or Norman Powell?
Yeah, well, I think considering he's in such demand, I think the Raptors could leverage a young player and some sort of draft pick as well out of it. Because if you're Masai Ujiri, you're calling up Pat Riley and saying, listen, we're going to trade him to the Sixers unless you give us Tyler Hero and one of your draft picks.
It's nice that both of these teams are, rumored teams are in the Eastern Conference, near the top of the Eastern Conference, and it's like,
Yeah.
Not only do you get Kyle Lowry if you make that trade, but you do prevent him from possibly going to another team. You're right. If all of this is true, yeah.
So I think they are in a good position like that. And if you can get that young asset and then, you know, draft pick as well, I think you have to do that if the Raptors. And I think Tyler Hero would be the number one guy you would try to get back. But after that, maybe a Tybal from Philadelphia. I think he's shown some good promise there both ways. But you want to just work these teams against each other and also call up the Clippers and say, hey, do you want Kyle Lowry? I mean, you guys need a point guard. What have you got? They don't have
nothing.
Tons.
They don't got a lot.
They don't have tons, but it doesn't hurt for you to just tell the Heat and the Sixers, listen, we're talking to the Clippers as well, so give us your best offers and go from there, because I think that's where they stand right now, that Kyle Lowry, they want to send him to a team that needs a guy, an experienced guy, who's a contending team. And I think all three of those that I mentioned believe they are.
Hmm. All right. Trey, who do you have for a loser of the weekend?
My loser of the weekend, also an Eastern Conference team, the Miami Heat, couple losses over the weekend. We had Duncan Robinson tell us on Friday, Skeets, it's hard to beat the same team twice playing in these baseball series.
Yeah.
He pulled a Domantas Sabonis. But unfortunately for Duncan Robinson, that helped the Pacers figure out how to beat the Heat two different ways. Miami smizacked on Friday. Indiana made 20 threes. The Heat made 9. Blowout win for the Pacers on Sunday. Heat lost in overtime. They made 9 threes again. Tyler Hero, Jimmy Butler, they both missed tying threes in the last minute. 3 straight losses for Miami. 3 straight games with single-digit three-pointers.
Yeah.
They're still doing all right in the standings. They're 15-8 with Jimmy Butler in the lineup since he returned. That's good. That's top 4 winning percentage in the Eastern Conference. The defense looks good. They're up to 5th in defensive efficiency. Not a problem there. The problem's on offense. They're still 25th. On offense, and it comes down to 2 things. They're not making threes. Duncan Robinson has fallen back to earth this year. He's still a good shooter, shooting over the league average, but he was shooting like 45% last year. That's a major drop off. Tyler Hero, I mentioned, struggling this year. And Kelly Olynyk not shooting well enough when that's basically all you're getting from Kelly Olynyk. The other part of it, they don't get to the free throw line as much as they did last year. First in the league in 2019. 20 in free throw rate. They're 9th this year. Jimmy doing his part again. He would be top 5 in free throw attempts if he qualified. But Goran Dragic is just not having the impact that he had last season. They are ripe for a trade. Tass has mentioned it a bunch of times. They never really replaced Jay Crowder last year. That's why Kelly Olynyk is their starter. They could upgrade him. They could upgrade Kendrick Nunn, I think. That's why you're getting these Kyle Lowry rumors. He fits perfectly there. And LaMarcus Aldridge is another guy who I think would be good for the Heat, just to be a tall guy out there who can still stretch the court. And I think he'll probably give you a little bit more than Olynyk can, though maybe that's a wash. Nonetheless, the Heat just need some offense. They got to figure out something to be able to score, because they just don't have the margin for error right now. They're not going to be the best three-point shooting team in the league.
Yeah, it's crazy that they're 29th in the league in three-point percentage. When they have, like, guys, like you've gone through there, that are good three-point shooters, like Duncan Robinson, good.
Sure.
Hero, good. Iguodala, you know, even, you know, in his spot minutes. Kelly Olynyk, usually decent. Like, it's nuts when they just go on these cold spells. That's why I got Wayne Ellington going back to Miami at some point. Second-round pick for Wayne Ellington.
Wayner.
Get him out of Detroit. That's my one of my crazy trade deadline predictions from last night's show. But, yeah, Heater, a good one. And for those, yeah, Trey said it there. We were talking to Duncan Robinson on Friday's Top Shot Twitch, where we had Jared Jeffries on, too, sharing Michael Jordan stories. Wow. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, remember Jared Jeffries, Lele?
Yeah.
Great guy. Big fisherman.
Awesome.
He's got his own fishing shop. Trey's going to go on it at some point.
Him and Trey must have been just talking bass all the time.
Talking jigs. Yeah, man. Yeah, it was great. So, okay, Miami Heat. Loser of the weekend. People in the stream team are saying Aaron Gordon has demanded a trade out. I don't know.
Well, he's asked for a trade.
He just asked for a trade? I thought that's been going on for a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, Jared Weiss and Sam Amick reported that he has requested a trade.
Okay.
The Athletic.
He's officially requested the trade. Newsflash, we've been trying to trade you for the last couple of weeks, probably. Okay, that's good. That makes my one prediction also I feel a little more confident in. Aaron Gordon is being moved. Where does he end up? We're going to find out in the next couple of days here.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Let's move to NBA weekend winners. Taz, why don't you get us started? Who's your winner of the weekend?
Well, the Nets got a really good rotation player, and his name is Blake Griffin. I think we can sort of change the way we think about Blake Griffin these days, but he's gone from superstar to now 32-year-old role player, and he's not demanding that he starts. He just came into his first game with the Brooklyn Nets and just played defense. This is not something you think of with Blake Griffin, but one of his first possessions, played Bradley Beal straight up and blocked him, and I think you can. Probably wait for or see that happening game to game to game because, Blake Griffin in his superstar role played a ton of minutes and wasn't a defensive type guy. But I think everybody that comes to Brooklyn just buys in. And I think he's going to be, a pretty solid defensive guy, even though that's not been his reputation whatsoever. And you cut his minutes in half from what he's used to playing. He doesn't have to carry a team. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to see a different type of guy. It's in the water in Brooklyn. Everybody comes in and plays their ass off. And so, there wasn't anything spectacular from Blake Griffin's debut. But as a coach, as Steve Nash, you say, whoa, you came in and you took a charge in the chesticles, you made a block, you played hard all over the floor, you made our bench unit look strong, and then you came in the second half and you played the five, which he could end games with the rest of the big three plus Joe Harris, and he got a dunk for once.
Oh, he got a dunk. Yeah. We called it. We said first game with Brooklyn, he's dunking it.
Everybody's saying he hasn't dunked in years. It has been 14, let me do math, 16 months, whatever it is, since he had an NBA dunk. He is an athletic body. He is not a guy who just runs up and down the floor. He can get up. It's clear he can play basketball. And so if you cut his minutes in half, and I just think he's just a unique player in that he can go from superstar to role player. It's only one game. But I think he can buy into just being another guy on the team. I don't think he's going to be one of those guys that's doesn't work out in that role. So all good in Brooklyn, man. They just got deeper. I truly believe that he'll come off the bench the rest of the year, and then he'll come in and play some key fourth quarter minutes, and he's just going to help out because everybody, from James Harden to Kyrie Irving to him to Durant, everybody's working on the defensive end when they need to. I think they're all buying into being a championship team.
And they're likely not done, too, by all accounts, right? I mean, Andre Drummond, rumored if a buyout happens with Cleveland, he could go there. I guess he has his option to go to the Lakers or to the Nets. And then, of course, there's Aldridge still, a possible buyout guy. Gorgie Jang, something like that. They might get another big here at the buyout market.
Three-time NBA champion JaVale McGee might join them. It's possible, yeah.
There's another one there. So, anything to add there, Lili, to Blake's debut, in a
Just
win
the
over
dunk.
The Wizards?
He hadn't dunked all season long. He made one basket. It was a dunk.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, Blake.
Come on, mate.
I mean, let's not go overboard. It wasn't like he was a Mozgovin somebody here. It was
but are you telling me he couldn't dunk once in Detroit this season? Not even once?
He was trying not to get hurt. Wait to get to a good team. Yeah. NBA players like playing on teams that actually matter. You want to get rejuvenated? Go play for a 500 team. PJ Tucker is going to shoot 90% from three this season. Wow. Now with the Bucks, it's ridiculous. But I love it. I love it. I love that the concerns for the Nets were that they weren't going to have any depth, as if they weren't going to be able to add guys easily. Now they're getting Blake Griffin. We'll see if he turns out to be anything for the remainder of the season. But after one game, to get a dunk in your first game, hilarious. Just a hilarious start for Blake Griffin in the Basquiat uniforms. I've always wanted to see that guy wearing Basquiat. Man, the Nets, though. Look at this roster. They've played 24 players already this season. That's ridiculous. They could be going for 30, depending on how buyouts go. Iman Shumpert, he's a Net. Remember that? Weird stuff. Weird stuff.
Yeah. Nick Claxton's been good for them, too. He's just cashing in his chips. It's been great. So, yeah.
I will say I was a little taken aback by the number two for Blake Griffin. You know, just had never been a single digit guy, right? He was, you know, two is always included in his number, but it's like just weird to go from the double digit. What was he, 32 and 23?
Was that yeah, he was 23 yeah. in Detroit. Yeah,
yeah, to just the two. You're like, oh, okay, cool. Well, you slipped in PJ Tucker there, Trey. You know, a little mini winner of the weekend for me because he made his Bucks debut on Saturday in a win versus the Spurs. Small ball center, PJ Tucker. That's what he does. Did it in Houston. He's doing it already in Milwaukee. 3 rebounds, 1 block, good old 0 for 1 from 3 in 13 minutes, but he actually contributed in this game. At the start of the fourth, when Giannis is off, they went Forbes, Holiday, Lopez, Middleton, and then Tucker, and we're trying to just basically switch everything 1 through 5. And I think where this really helps them is the quotes you were hearing from the other Bucks players after this game about PJ Tucker. Again, I just read you the box score. I mean, he basically did a whole bunch of nothing. But don't tell them that, because this is what they said. Middleton, about Tucker. He's ready to compete at the highest level. He wants it. Giannis, we need somebody that's going to be loud all the time. They all kept talking about just how vocal PJ Tucker is on defense, despite having one practice with the team. And then, of course, just this one game. And then Holiday said, we feel like, honestly, we have a really good chance of winning it all. Man. If all this PJ Tucker move did for the Bucks was like fire up these other guys in their star players, then geez, off to a great start again with the victory over the Spurs. And you can see how he's going to help. Like, I'm excited. I'll tell you, if we can get like a Bucks, obviously Sixers series or a Bucks Nets series, there's going to be some battles here because like these reinforcements that both all these squads are getting, and like we talked about, maybe the Sixers aren't done too. So yeah, Lee, I don't know if you saw PJ Tucker helping out there in his 13 minutes, but makes sense on that team.
Yeah, and on the broadcast, they said apparently PJ and Giannis, when they saw each other, they said, thank God I don't have to go against you anymore.
Right,
they were both
sure.
glad to be on the same team for a change. But yeah, I think this is a pretty good pickup for them because, yeah, he didn't obviously have to shoot or score all that much. He didn't score at all, in fact, on Saturday night. But he's going to get those threes. He's going to be tough. He's going to play defense, and he's going to be a smart guy to have out on the floor. So it's a very strong addition there for Milwaukee. And yeah, I think they did the right thing by going out, giving up a little bit to get him, but I think that's worth it. Ultimately, he's going to improve that team, especially late in games as well. He's going to be on the floor, so I like that for Milwaukee.
Yeah, they just sort of need, it feels like, a tough SOB like
yes.
Tucker, especially defensively. Just a guy talking, playing that Garnett role, like barking at everyone, move, rotate, we're doing this. Like, again, one game, all these guys with these comments. I know it's like the new guys here, you want to make them feel good, but he had an impact in very limited minutes, and he's only going to get more. So that's a mini winner of the weekend there for the Bucks, getting PJ Tucker looking good in his debut. Lee, winner of the weekend, where are you going?
So I'm going with Chris Paul, who last night became the sixth player in NBA history to hit the 10,000 assist mark. He's only about 2,000 away from Jason Kidd for second all time, which works out to be around 220 to 230 regular season games based on his career average of 9 and about 9.4, 9.5 a game.
That's a lot still.
It's still a lot, but I think he's got enough. I think he's got at least another two good seasons left in him, and then he's going to be close enough. He might just go for it because he could also catch Jason Kidd for second on steals as well. He's about 400 behind. His career average is 2.2, but that's down to about 1.5 the last couple of seasons, so he might need a few extra games to get him there. But I think if he really wants to, he could finish second all time. We know he's a Hall of Fame lock anyway, but here's the thing. I think Chris Paul would trade in 5,000 assists and 1,000 steals for a healthy hamstring in the 2018 Western Conference Final.
Because
I think that Chris Paul now is in that sort of Steve Nash, Tracy McGrady bracket of like, we may never see him in the finals.
Yeah.
And he is unlikely to win a championship, certainly this season, and he's unlikely to win one as the best player on a team anyway, no matter what happens after this season. And I believe in 2018, they were 3-2 up on the Warriors when he popped his hamstring there in Game 5. I think they do go on to win that series, and then I think they beat the Cavs in the finals. That's just my, you know, my belief that what would have happened and how things would be different for not just him, but of course for James Harden as well. If they both had a championship, who knows who wins a finals MVP? Maybe, you know, could have been either one, but that's not important, really. It's more about those two guys, you know, potentially winning a championship together. And Chris Paul, you know, for me, I have him in that, you know, top five to top seven all-time best point guards. I think he's better than guys like Gary Payton, John Stockton, even though Stockton has the records. I think Chris Paul's a better overall point guard than those guys. But it's more likely than not that we won't ever get to see him in the finals. And that sucks, because I think he deserves to be there. And I'd love to have seen him in that moment, because he had some games where he blew it for his teams, but he also had some clutch moments as well. And it's just, you know, for a guy who's going to finish with that, you know, with those two records in close, being second all time in steals and assists, to have never made the finals is going to kind of suck for him. So, you know, if they can somehow pull it off this season, that'd be fantastic. I just don't think they can get quite that far. And he's still, look, he's still in good shape. Like, he was a guy who had a lot of soft tissue injuries throughout his career, but he's changed his diet and he's actually been one of the most durable players the last couple of seasons. He hasn't had those same sort of injuries that he's had. So I think he has been able to extend his career. And I think he can play, like, he's 35, I think, now. I think he can play up until, and he turns 36 soon. I think he can play up to, you know, 39, 40. Obviously, at that point, I guess his impact is dropping off and his minutes are dropping off. But I think he can still be a decent backup point guard later in his career and get those numbers. But
yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he joins a team later in his career here to try and win a title. Like, if he is a guy that's like the seventh or eighth guy on the squad.
Well, and the other thing, you know, I mentioned there, the Rockets, but of course you can go back to when he was traded to the Lakers, and then David Stern said, no, you're not, you're going instead to well, he didn't say you're going to the Clippers instead, but he voided that trade. So again, how things could have been different if he played with Kobe and potentially won a championship, you know, that would be 10 seasons ago now. Like, just the whole story about Chris Paul could change completely, because, like I say, no one doesn't have him in the Hall of Fame. He's absolutely a certainty to go there. But he never quite got to the finals as the number one guy. And I'm disappointed.
Man, the Suns are rolling here. Hey, maybe this is the year.
I mean, it would be incredible if he did it year of his career. But I just don't think so. He can get there.
I had a little trivia question off of that 10,000th assist from Chris Paul. Beauty assist too. You know, nice one to get for your 10,000th there. A little pick and roll action with DeAndre Ayton throwing him the lob. Can you name the top five assist connections in Chris Paul's career? The five guys. There's a top 10, but we don't need to go all the way here.
Mike Tyson Chandler.
Tyson Chandler's actually looks like he's sixth or seventh.
Well, Blake has to be there.
Blake is number one. 1,157 assists from Chris Paul to Blake Griffin made baskets. Yeah, number one, Blake.
DeAndre's a good one.
DeAndre Jordan is fourth, guys, 574.
JJ Redick.
That's third, 634. Nice. One pretty obvious one that I thought you guys maybe would say. David West is second, 1,120. I thought this fifth guy, and we'll end it there, was the most interesting one, because I'd sort of forgotten. I guess I'd forgotten how long they sort of played together. He was a bucket.
Stojakovic?
Yeah.
Really?
He's your fifth. Wow. Yeah. Again, a little surprising, a little bit to me. 429. And then Rasul Butler, Tyson Chandler, Jamal Crawford, Matt Barnes, and Karam.
Rasul Butler?
Yeah.
Nice.
That would have been a very difficult
setting one. The table.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, good stuff there from Chris Paul, 10,000. We'll see how many he can ultimately get to. Trey, let's go to you. Winner of the weekend, man.
Oh, easy winner of the weekend. Skeetsy, huge game for the Spurs. Keldon Johnson in a win on Friday. 23 points, but more importantly, 21 rebounds. JD, roll that beautiful beef footage.
Keldon Johnson had 21 rebounds. That's a lot of roast beef. He's 6'5", shortest beefer yet. No dunks. We love roast beef, which is rebounds.
Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. A little braised short rib for you right there. 11 offensive rebounds for Keldon Johnson this game. 9 second chance points. He's the first Spur with a 2020 game since Tim Duncan in 2013. The guy's listed as a guard. He was basically playing the four in this game, lining up under the basket on free throw attempts. He was underneath the hoop constantly, really Bruce Browning it out there, driving to the hoop, throwing it against the glass, knocking it in like Tim Duncan. Nonetheless, even if he is a guard, if he's a forward, whatever you want to call him, shortest beefer this season, first guard with a big beef, the first guard since who? With 20 rebounds.
Ooh, Westbrook?
Yeah.
Westbrook is a little bit ago.
Doncic?
Feels like Doncic, yeah, exactly. Oh, Doncic wow. last year had a 20-rebound game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander also had a 20-rebound game, as you guys know. Westbrook had two 20-rebounds. Ben Simmons, one. Prior to that, a 20-rebound game by a guard hadn't been done since 1990. Only five times from 69, nice, to 1990. Six times, though, since 2018. Holy. It's crazy stuff. Bigger guys, they're the lead ball handler now. Obviously, Keldon Johnson's not a lead ball handler for the Spurs, but that's why you're seeing these guards get these 20-rebound games. This is a great one, though. Very cool to see a guy that small just, like, dominating inside, getting off his feet faster than anybody else, slapping the ball up there, just bodying the big dudes. Love it.
How many did Josh Hart get this season earlier?
He was 17.
17. He was flirting with it. Yeah, he's like 6'5", too, isn't he? Yeah, wow. 21 rebounds. That is insane. They got a lot of Spurs fans wondering if Keldon Johnson is the best young Spurs player on that team, Lele.
Whoa, baby.
They got some talent, but he has been really impressive, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got a couple mini weekend winners here for you guys. Tobias Harris, quickly. Sixers picked up two wins this weekend. They crushed the Kings, and then they squeaked out a victory over the Knicks in overtime on Sunday. But Tobias Harris, best player on the floor versus Sacramento, shot 12 of 18, 29 points. He hit the glass. He had 8 assists. There's no Joel Embiid in both of these wins. No Ben Simmons in that one. Tobias Harris, I'm an all-star, remember he told everybody. You know, honestly, playing like it. And then he followed that up. On Sunday versus the Knicks, it was a little uglier. He did not shoot well, but he made the two clutch free throws, Lee, with about 5 seconds left in overtime. Bit of a questionable foul call. I don't know if you saw it, Lee. Julius Randle called for pushing Tobias Harris in the back. Definitely got his arm on him. You know, do you want the referees to swallow the whistle there in overtime in a one-point game? Maybe you do. But I'll give Tobias Harris credit for putting himself in that position to get the whistle. I mean, he flashed to the rim. This was like, I guess it was Shake Milton little runner attempt. And Tobias Harris, everybody, all eyes are on Shake. And Tobias Harris just sort of darted in there, got to the rim. And then, again, little contact from Randle. And he got the whistle. And then he still had to step to the line and knock him down, Lele. And he did. So Tobias Harris, I mean, Sixers improved to 30-13. It's their eighth win in their last 10 games. And again, no Joel Embiid and no Ben for one of those. So a little love to Tobias Harris. What did you think of the call there on Randle?
It's a tough one. Julius Randle didn't have a good week with the referees, but no, he didn't. You know, that's the way it goes. But yeah, look, Tobias Harris, when he goes 5-for-18, does he sort of say to the crowd afterwards, okay, maybe I'm not an all-star after all?
Hey, how dare you? Who made the clutch free throws, Lee?
Look, he's good. But the thing is, I want to see him do this stuff in the playoffs. This is when I really want to see him step up, because he's got the talent and he can sort of fill in the void a little bit there. Obviously, they're waiting for Embiid to come back, but I want consistency and I want to see late game execution from him, because that's why I think there's a bit of a fringe for him, because it's like, is he good or is he just, does he sort of cash in when they're going up against inferior opponents? That's the question sometimes with him.
Another mini winner of the weekend to the Friday night highlights. Tass, I wanted to ask you, what was your favorite Friday night highlight out of Luka's crazy dime where he like threw it over his head and sort of kept his hand up like a follow through, which was pretty special. He had another one in that game too. Ja Morant's 360 layup. Oh, very smooth, very top shotty. My man TK knows. Or Jamal Murray's clutch three there versus the Bulls. A little sidestep to the corner. Boom, let's get it into overtime where the Nuggets pulled out the victory. If you had to pick between those three, which one are you going with?
Oh, well, me, probably the wrong guy to ask. I take Fridays off. It was a long, long week. Wasn't really watching much Friday. But, of course, yeah, the Luka flair wins.
Ooh, that was nice. Yeah. Lee, are we going to see that in very solid play? Like, what are you going to do with that one?
I can't. I don't think
that's
it's too sexy.
You even admit that's too sexy.
Because you don't often see a guy leave it hanging for a pass like that.
Yeah, but no.
That, you know, that was kind of as well the guy who shows up to the pickup run who's just a real dick the first night he plays, and he does all that sort of show-off stuff, and people actually don't like him because it's like, what are you doing? You're just passing it out. But I'm just happy that Tim Hardaway hit that shot because otherwise it would have been like, oh, how do you blow that? But he put on a show, Luka. The Ja Morant spin was as smooth.
I love a 360 layup. Oh, my God. It was nice.
Goodness me, that was smooth. People want me to put that in very solid plays. I'm like, I can't just put one guy's move in. I mean, maybe I can. Who cares? Who knows? We'll see what happens on Friday.
It's not solid. It's the opposite of solid.
You know, there's only one rule with the very solid plays of the week.
What's
there
the
are no rules.
Oh, there are no rules. Okay, it's like, yeah, it's like Fight Club somehow. All right, and then final winner of the weekend to the Wedgies, guys. Oh, my goodness. The Wedgies were coming fast and furious in the NCAA March Madness tournaments and in the NBA. We had a Friday night here, Nets Magic. That's Fournier sticking it there on the layup. And we followed it up on Saturday. Oh, Chevy Trax from the corner. Oh, yeah. PJ Washington. What a bounce, Wedgie.
That's
holy
incredible.
Moly. Cool that's one. That's cool rare. One. That is very rare. And then we weren't done. Late on Sunday night. Yes, the Mavericks-Blazers game. It was a snooze fest. Luka and the Mavs killed the Blazers. But in the fourth quarter, we had the Wedgie Whisperer, Lamar Hurd, on the call. And, of course, the Blazers come through, presenting another Wedgie for us. We got to hear this one.
Simons for the go-by Green. And we have a Wedgie. Got to be a record this season.
Well, follow WedgieTracker.com because they're keeping track of everything going on. No, I'm dead serious. There's a count. There's a live count going on to find out. Man, check right now.
I'm just going to say, thank goodness a basketball-minded person got that URL before anybody else at WedgieTracker.com.
Excellent.
So Lamar looks that up at the moment.
Currently at 33 Wedgies, on pace for 62. Now, that's a big number this season. You get 62 of those.
Now, do they have historical records? Would this be a record?
I don't know.
Or is it like the block stat that didn't start until a certain year?
Well, you know what's not fair to WedgieTracker.com, mm-hmm. and I know Dunks friends, is the reduced games this season.
Yes.
Imagine this pace.
So many more Wedgies, Lamar, if we had 10 extra games like we normally do at 82.
Well, you got the play-in games.
You do.
So those are some extra opportunities.
Yes. Playoffs. Do they track stats in the playoffs?
I don't know.
Okay. You have to ask your friends over at No Dunks. If playoff Wedgies count.
Do they count for more? Because you got to show up on the big stage in order to garner that real respect.
This is unbelievable. The
too
Blazers
good.
Broadcast of Jordan Kent and our guy Lamar Hurd going for over a minute during the game talking about Wedgies, giving a shout out to WedgieTracker.com, which we're showing you here on the stream team. You know, when Lamar was looking it up, it was at 33, but of course we're adding this one. We're now at 34. The pace is 63. And Task, you know, they're asking a lot of great questions there on the broadcast about playoff Wedgies, obviously the reduced season. I mean, just... That's a record. That's the longest anyone's ever talked about a Wedgie on the broadcast. That you can lock that in.
On a broadcast, for sure. Yeah. thank God for garbage time. No, actually, yeah. they made it a very interesting conversation. Jordan Kent, very funny comment, saying that thank God an NBA-minded person bought up WedgieTracker.com first. And yeah, we got to put the fact that there was 50-plus Wedgies in a season. We got to put the record season up there on WedgieTracker.com. So when Lamar Hurd goes there, he knows that we have hit 50 in the modern-day era. And we're going to get to 60 despite having lost so many games this season. It don't matter. And, yeah, we count playoffs. Of course we do. But not more than one, Lamar. That'd be cheating. That'd be straight cheating. So, yeah, we're on pace. Can't believe it. I just can't believe it. In the season with reduced games. Wild.
It's wild. The Friday, Saturday, Sunday night Wedgies in the NBA. And how many, Trey, were happening in March Madness? I saw people tweeting at us and on Instagram, like, both in men's and women's, I think. There may have been. I want to say there was like another three or four over the weekend.
There was definitely a bunch, and the big one was an Iron Eagle Wedgie call, right?
I mean, overtime, I think.
Yeah, overtime. Outside of Lamar Hurd getting to call a Wedgie during a 40-point blowout at the free throw line, Iron Eagle calling a Wedgie is a pretty legendary thing, you know. I feel like there are probably some sort of regulations where you can't reference an NBA podcast on an NCAA broadcast. The old podcast broadcast conundrum. But yeah, you know, the balls are sticking this year. Balls are sticking. Less fans in the stands. What does that mean? Does that have any effect on the Wedgies? Apparently so. They're sticking like crazy.
It's just unbelievable, the pace we are on right now. You're right, Tass. I love that idea. We got to get up the at least 51, right, all-time record to show that would be smart. We got to add that to Wedgie Tracker. It'd be nice if there was a little Easter egg on the WedgieTracker.com. Is it 51 or 54? I can never remember. It's 51.
No, it's 51. You're right. Okay. You're right, yeah. No, I was going to ask JD if he's out there in the wilderness. Do we have that 50 banner still, JD? Wow. Does somebody have that?
Ooh, that's a good question.
I bet we do.
We must. Yeah. We must have it.
Yeah.
That's got to
be in a box. No, I think it's in a box.
It's in a box.
Yeah.
It's in a box.
The banner's in a box.
Yeah. I was going to say we need a little Easter egg on wedgietracker.com. I don't know where you would place it, but a little secret spot. Like you could click on it. You could see me getting a wedgie from Shaq. Make Jordan Kent very happy there. So great stuff from Lamar and Jordan Kent and the Blazers. How many have they delivered this year?
Crazy.
I think it's six.
Six? Wow. It's wild. Keep it up, guys. Keep it up.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF-IN-IOWA. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Tweet of the Night comes from Mina Kimes, who had a great tweet going around on the weekend. I guess on Sunday she put it up there. And it's just a fun question. What's the stupidest injury you've ever occurred? She said, I'll go first. I popped my jaw last week by brushing my teeth too vigorously.
Wow.
Still hurts. Yeah. Which is crazy. Mina. But I thought I could ask you guys this and everybody in the stream team. I think, Trey, you did you respond. So why don't you share sort of what your story was, the craziest, stupidest injury you ever had.
Yeah, sophomore year of high school, we went to the state basketball championship in Peoria, Illinois. An exciting time for Plano, Illinois. Exciting time for me until I broke my wrist playing in an inflatable funhouse, going down the slide head first, and our offensive guard landed right on me. Mm. Broke my wrist right before the tournament, also right before the baseball season.
Ooh.
Not great, not great. Haven't been back in a funhouse since.
Wow.
Boycotting them for the rest of my life. Gotta save these wrists.
Oh, so it sounds like your guard was a little reckless. No wonder you don't like guys diving.
That's right. Come on.
All over the place.
Oh, Ryan Romey, one of the dirtiest high school football players you'll ever meet. This guy was a menace out there.
That guard is offensive. That's... So he was an offensive guard in high school, but he was also a dirty football player. Interesting. He could do it all, man.
He was not a basketball player. When I say offensive guard.
Offensive guard.
Alignment. Big old strong lineman.
Oh, but you were in a basketball tournament or it was a football tournament?
No, we were there for basketball.
Oh, wow.
I was not good enough to be playing, Skeets. I was not good enough to be playing for the team. Our team was great. We went to support them. We were having a great time.
Oh,
instead,
I
ended up missing the games because I was at a hospital with one of my friend's dads.
Wow.
Not fun. But shout out to Steve Dexter for taking me to the hospital and missing the biggest moment in Plano basketball history.
Oh, goodness. That's a good one. Lee, I mean, I assume you got a stupid injury to share, no?
Well, mine's not so much an injury as a much stupidity that I ended up in hospital. It was summer. I was about 20. And we played cricket in the summer, And on the Friday night before, me and a few friends went out boozing until like 5 o'clock in the morning, woke up. And I remember Mum saying to me, like, you should drink some water before you go. It's going to be like 40 degrees Celsius today. And I'm like, yeah, Mum, I'll be okay. It was so hot that day. And I drank a little bit of water, but I left it too late. And I started dehydrating. And I basically collapsed on the ground. And, you know, everyone's like, get up, get up. You're being a wuss. And I'm like, nah, I'm feeling really bad. And I started vomiting everywhere. Anyway, they took me to hospital and, yeah, I had to go on a drip in the hospital and the nurse there was like, did you just not drink any water at all today? Like, why not? Even if you weren't hungover, you should have been drinking water. And I was right. Just like, yeah, I'll be okay, you know, but, yeah, oh man, what an ugly feeling that was. Like, I tried to have a pee at one stage and I barely could get anything out. And then it was all like syrupy when it did come out. That's just how dry it was. It was gross.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. It's still early, man.
Syrupy.
Wow. All of your injuries sustained from not drinking water. You had the IV Vegas drip as
yeah.
well.
Yeah. Well, trapped yeah. Gas. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I've got to drink more water.
Trapped
man.
Wind. So, yeah.
Got to hydrate.
All right.
Dehydration.
Tess, we know your infamous injury, the rounding third base there in a softball game, and down goes Tess, the femur gets cracked. But is there, you know, I don't know, that's not really stupid. You're just rounding third base. It's unfortunate. Is there something else that's maybe like, oh, what? That was all my fault. That was really dumb.
Yeah. I guess that injury could be looked at as stupid if you're talking slang. That injury was stupid. But I don't really have a really stupid... I'm sure there are some plenty. I just don't have the capacity to look back. Mainly because I'm on allergy meds right now. And I think my next injury is going to be sustained while on this medication. Because for 39 years of my life, not an allergy in sight. Didn't have one. And now I'm taking these just regular allergy meds. But man, they make me drowsy.
Wow.
So I'm going down hard. I could not get out of bed. I could not get out of bed today. It's just this stuff makes you so drowsy. I was wearing my blue light glasses last night. My winkers were falling asleep behind those glasses, just sitting there. It was early, but I was trying to, too much pollen out here, way too much pollen out here. So I'm on these 39 years. I every single time, you know, you go to the doctor, you have any allergies? Nah, latex? Nah, nothing.
Now you have to say, yeah, wow.
All of a sudden, Atlanta changes a man. Yeah. So I'm definitely going down. I'm sure there's better non-drowsy medication out there that I'll be taking, but I don't have it yet, so I'm going down.
He's falling asleep right here, just thinking about it.
Keep your winkers open. Yeah.
We're almost done. We're almost done. JD, do you have a crazy, stupid injury?
My boxer, Lennox, back in the day, he gave me a concussion by jumping up. I was crouching over him. He was getting in trouble. I was furious with him, and I was telling him to get up, basically, while I was hovering over him, and he just jumped right up, slammed my jaw. And it hurt, obviously, but it gave me, like, a mild concussion, which was crazy. Like, I didn't even know you could get hit in the jaw and then get a concussion from it. So I guess he had the last laugh. Mm. He shit on the floor and then got in trouble for it and then nearly knocked me out.
Wow.
So.
You fell in the crap. Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well, that would have been good.
I shared this story before, but the dumbest, stupidest injury was at a house party that had a trampoline in the backyard and thought I'd get, you know, silly up there. Let's show off for everybody. Let's get some spins going and some flips going. And I did the flip and I just kept going a little too much and boom, smack, nose on the metal bar around the trampoline, blood all over the trampoline, just pure explosion. And then I looked like a fool for the rest of the night with like a cold beer on my nose. Luckily, you know, I never ended up going to the hospital, so I guess it just was gushing. But I didn't break it, I guess. If I did, I got a weird looking nose, but it didn't go sideways, which was good. But that was all my fault, just trying to show off. Be careful out there, everybody. And Mina, we hope you're feeling better there with your jaw. Pick'em results from Friday night, brought to you by BetMGM. This was the Houston Rockets at home trying to snap their losing streak to the Pistons of all teams coming in there. Houston was favored, and they still lost, and they're still losing. So that's a win for Lili. back to 6-6. JD completes the perfect week, taking over for Trey Kirby. 5-0. Just miraculous stuff here. Trey, you're 9-3.
I'm loving it.
I mean, you left. What were you when you left? You were like
4-3.
Yeah, you were doing fine. But the crazy work by JD there. Tass, that's a loss. Loss for me. So I'm in last at 5-7. That's what you really need to know. So what's tonight's game here before we get to Trey's payoff video, Tass?
Well, in honor of Trey coming back, we got the Bulls game here. 9.5-point doggers at home to the Utah Jazz. Jazz coming into Chicago. Got to win by 10 to cover. So start you off, Trey. What do you think? Or should it go to JD? I mean, it's up to you.
Oh, wow. Interesting. You guys should talk it out.
What a great question. Because on one hand, yeah, I want JD to keep picking because the guy can't miss.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I wouldn't blame him if he's like, no, I didn't miss.
Yeah.
I'm retiring on top.
That's exactly what's happening. I'm dropping the mic. I am leaving the room. On a high note.
Yeah.
That's it. My gambling career is officially over.
Right. I mean, if only we could do that when we're in Vegas at the table. When you're up.
5-5, I'm out of here. Away. Flying home.
Yeah. Okay, so Trey, yeah, you're picking, man.
I'm picking the Bulls, obviously. I mean, they may lose this game. They cannot beat other playoff teams. They can beat every bad team in the league. But they do play the good teams pretty close and then come up short in the end. So I think the Bulls can cover this. Give me the Bulls.
I'm also going with the Bulls. Keep it quick. Give me the +9.5. Keep it close enough.
Lee, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm also choosing the Bulls. I think that's enough for Chicago.
Okay, swerve, me too. Not doing it.
No?
No, staying with the Bulls. JD, did we pick the right team?
No.
Oh!
Yeah,
no.
You're right.
You didn't.
You're right.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts. Okay, well, we all have the Bulls to keep it somewhat close. Jazz got to win by 10 or more. So go Chicago. We're all Bulls fans tonight. Okay, so as promised, Trey, you had to pay off February's pick'em loss because JD wasn't helping you way back then, I guess. But we made you do it on your vacation. I don't even know what you ended up doing here, so I'm excited to see. Do you need to set this up at all for us?
Well, I can give you a little backstory here, Skeets.
Okay.
What I wanted to do, I'm sure you guys have seen this video. It's from Mr. Health Nut. He's a guy in a Speedo, ripped. He's got his hair similar to mine, long hair pulled back in a ponytail, big long beard. And he's standing behind a fire pit, just whacking his own balls. There's no other way to say it. That's what he's doing. He says it's an ancient technique. I messaged JD and said, I want to do this. Then I asked Laura, hey, I need you to film a video for me. Sure, no problem. What do you need me to do? Okay, here's what I wanted to do. I show her the video, Mr. Health Nut. Just this. I'll start a fire, go smack my nuts a few times. And then put it in the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Oh. Why?
Well,
I said,
come on,
why? Sir. She said, you're not putting a video of you slapping yourself in the genitals on the internet. A fair point.
All right.
Yeah, especially once she mentioned that my mom and her grandma all follow our Instagram account, which may make for some awkward conversations. I don't think they're going to dip into the stream and see the part where I just did it. Nonetheless, I was not going to force Laura to do this.
Yeah.
She's such a great wife. She'll do everything, especially tell me when I'm doing something incredibly stupid. So had to cancel that. Fair enough. But like I like to tell you guys every single time we talk about the Bulls, they're back. So I'd like to present to you the world's first The Bulls Are Back flop.
That's great.
Okay, worth it.
That was
worth it.
Or for the slow-mo, the Bulls are back.
what a great addition. Sorry, guys. I don't think there's many things that are funnier than wearing a shirt that is longer than your underwear and you just see legs. I think that's one of the funniest looks out there. And yeah, it actually hurt. It actually hurt my back. I had had a sunburn on my back from being out fishing wearing a Bulls jersey of all things.
Oh, no.
So yeah, a little sore, but it was worth it. Very good. Great stuff, JD and the Bulls. Intro music, I love it. I love it.
Okay, so he has officially paid off February's pick and loss. Yeah, I was going to say, did those white thighs get sunburned?
No.
Man.
Oh, baby, I got red hands, I got red shoulders, and I got the whitest alabaster thighs you ever seen, Skeets. I love it. I love Laura so much, man. Oh. She's like, you're not putting a video of you slapping your own nuts on the internet, but sure, yeah. I will definitely videotape you wearing no pants strutting around. And I will say, I'm sure people are concerned out there, the Carhartt hat. Survived the pool. Looks even more weathered now, putting in that hard work. Ooh. You know.
Okay. Good. All right. Awesome stuff. What a way to wrap up this Monday podcast. Please like, comment, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments for tomorrow's Beach Steppin' podcast. Email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com. Grab your No Dunks merch at nodunks.com. We might have to start considering Speedos there now on our website. And subscribe to theathletic.com/nodunks. For what I believe now, Tess, is $1 a month. March 22nd,
well,
I think
the
we were told. Yeah, I think so.
You did it. You did it, Max Glassman. You made it happen.
So go to subscribe to The Athletic, theathletic.com/nodunks, so they know that we sent you for $1 a month for new subscribers. So if you haven't done it, I've been telling you every day here for the last like 10 months, but if you haven't already, now's the time. It ain't going to get cheaper. Look, it ain't going to get cheaper than that. I'll tell you right now.
Well, it's cheaper for Canadians because it's $1 Canadian, theathletic.com/nodunks Canada.
Oh my goodness. There's that as well. So yes, what's stopping you now? Nothing. That's the answer. Okay. Fun Monday show. Thanks to the stream teamers for joining us live. We will see you tomorrow. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, Trey Kirby, definitely American, but this weekend, his body was Canadian. His body was like the Canadian flag of red, white, and red. Red hands, white pasty thighs, and red shoulders.
Embrace the day, people.